So, today's computers are limited by power. A big thing to note here is, be it your smartphone or be it the big data centers that our companies like to run, they're all limited by power. Whether they're trying to run cool or whether they're trying or whether they're fighting the utilities that are giving them a power cap on the time that they design it. Let's look at how data centers today manage this power cap. They do it in a hierarchical fashion, like scheduling, where they first have a data center level power cap, which is translated into a cluster and rack level power cap, and that finally translates into a node level power cap, which is managed by the node level power management unit. The key point to note here is that the node level power management unit is the most critical piece of this infrastructure. This is where your application's performance will be dictated. Especially in a multi-tenant data center where multiple users can be sharing a node, the effects of these mechanisms can be drastic and can also cause unpredictability in performance. So this brings us to a central question: how do we make performance more predictable, or how do we manage performance in such power-capped systems? To understand this, let's first look at how applications behave in isolation under a power capping mechanism. Let's look, first, we're going to look at voltage and frequency scaling, which is one of the most popular methods. To do this, we use two different kinds of applications: a scientific workload, Cactus BSSN, which we term to be a high demand application because it uses a higher amount of power at different frequency states. Then the other application that we run is Leela. It's an analytics workload from the spec benchmark suite. And this we term a low demand application because when it runs, it uses less power in general than all other applications in the suite. So here we increase the frequency from 3 gigahertz to 3.4 gigahertz, which is a 10% increase in frequency. And we see how it affects the change in the instruction throughput of the applications. And what we observe is a 42% increase in power yields only 8.7% increase in performance. And a 44% increase in power for the low demand application yields only 10% increase in performance. The key point to note here is different applications, even though they're running at the same frequency, can have different power values, or they can have different power draws. And more importantly, because they have different power draws, they also can have different performance characteristics. And how does having different performance characteristics affect us in a multi-tenant scenario? In a multi-tenant system, you may have two applications which naturally are running at different frequency levels because they may have an instruction set, such as the AVX-512 instruction set, which caps the system to be at a lower highest frequency than all other applications in the system. And in our case, that application is a scientific workload called CAM4. It is also from the spec benchmark suite. And we use a low demand application here, which is a generic compiler workload in GCC. And what we observe when we power cap the system to lower and lower power limits is that different applications here, CAM4 and GCC, are affected differently in their performance. And if you note at the 40 watt power limit for performance, you have around 7% difference in performance of GCC and CAM4. And in general, GCC is losing a lot more performance. And this is because it has the highest frequency in the system, and its frequency is being capped first. And I'd like you to note this point, that this throttling behavior is a policy decision. So how can we go for a possible solution for this system? How can we make power performance more predictable under power caps? We already know that modern hardware today provides us with a lot of core level power controls. But what it's missing is the ability to have policies over it. They have rigid defined policies like the one we saw, where we cap the highest frequency first, but we think we need better, more utilitarian policies which consider fairness, have isolation guarantees, are able to have predictability in performance, as well as they're able to give, they're easily implementable. So for the rest of the talk, I'm going to talk about the hardware mechanisms quickly and then move into two classes of policies that we introduce to make power more predictable. The first mechanism we look at is DVFS. DVFS is voltage and frequency scaling. Here you can individually change the voltage and frequency of a core, and to make it easier for the operating system to understand and handle DVFS, a new state was called called P-state was introduced by Intel around two decades ago. And now this P-state in the multi-core era has moved to be a per-core P-state in the system. The next mechanism that we're going to look at is RAPL. Since you have the ability to affect the power of each core, you also need a way to set these values. For this, we use a controller in hardware or in software, which goes and finds the next available P state for the cores. This controller tries to keep you under the power limit. That is, if you are running above the power limit defined, it will first throttle the highest frequency available in the system, and then all applications that are going to be running above this highest, this new threshold of frequency are going to be affected, or they're going to be throttled, as we saw previously in our slide. So, now that we have these core level mechanisms, can we do something smarter with them? Can we cause them to have power redistribution? So, to test this hypothesis, we took the low demand workload GCC and ran it on all 10 cores of our Intel Skylake, and we constrained half the cores successively. That is, we set them to the highest P state, and then we gradually decreased the P state to a lower and lower frequency. And what we observed in performance was an interesting characteristic. There was a point where we started to see the performance diverge. And this performance divergence is because we have now caused one of the applications to have lesser power draw than the other application. And we can use this ability to now cause the other application's performance to improve. Now this is we are forcing RAPL to do this, but there must be a way to do it in a more controlled fashion. And this is where we introduce our policies. The first policy that we're going to introduce is a priority policy. And it's like any other priority policy, but here we're going to make priorities power aware. And by that, I mean that we're going to take into account the power draw of an application or the power demand of an application when we're going to allocate for it. Our policy is to have the highest priority core be allocated first, and whatever power remains after the allocation to the higher priorities is done is then transferred to the lower priorities. Let's look at an example case of how priority policies work in reality. Here, we take a three-core system, and each core needs around 1 to 4 credits of power to run. And we have, if we have 8 credits of power remaining, and we have 3 applications, 1 high-priority and 2 low-priority applications in the system, we'll start by giving the high-priority application as much power as it can get, and then the remaining power we're going to split equally amongst the low-priority applications. This is all well and good until you are now severely constrained by power. You only have 5 credits, and you don't know what you can do with that 1 credit. Can you run both the low-priority applications, or should you do something more smarter? Here, we have 3 options. 1, we can make the high-priority applications suffer, and then get all applications to make progress in the system. The other thing that we can do is we can just have strict isolation and we can starve our low priority applications altogether. But starvation is never a good thing, so the third thing we have to do is make the controller talk to the operating system scheduler. And once we involve the scheduler, we complicate the controller because now we also need to modify our operating system. And that way, we can get both the low-priority applications scheduled and meet progress, but we have some issues in performance predictability. So we chose to do starvation in our evaluation, where we took the Intel Skylake platform and took 2 applications, Cactus PSSN and Leela from before, and spread them equally amongst the cores. Then we varied the number of high-priority applications in the system. We first had 1, to 3, to 7 applications in the system, and we also had all applications at the same priority just to get a baseline of the performance. We first ran this combination of experiments under RAPL, and what we observed is that all applications are hurt equally in this scenario where we are getting roughly 90% performance in all combinations. So we have the all same priority in the leftmost part, and then just one high priority to seven high priority in the x-axis. Then we ran it under our highest priority first policy. And what we observed is when we had just one high priority application, we were able to do it better than it was doing under isolation. And this is because we are enabling Turbo Boost in our system. And we see similar behavior where the lower priority applications are capped more and more as the number of high priority applications increases in the system. And finally, we reach a stage where we are actually starving the low priority applications to maintain the performance of the high priority applications. The good thing about priority policies are they're easy to implement and they provide good isolation, but within a priority level, you can have some unfairness. Because the problem that we caused before, if CAMFOR and GCC were both at the same priority level, we can't still guarantee the performance of GCC with just priorities if they were both the same priority to us. So we go, as others have gone before, to proportional share policies and see how they help us get more predictable performance. In proportional share policies, we distribute power proportionally to the share available to the system. And we do this by calculating a per application power limit. And then we run the application at the highest P state possible under this limit. That means we are going to run it at the highest frequency that we can and still maintain the limit per application. And this application limit is defined as the fraction of shares the application has to the shares in use and to the and the fraction of shares in use to the power available in the whole system. Let's look at an example of the proportional share policy. Here we have the same case as below, but instead of a high priority and low priority application, we have a low demand and two high demand applications in place. We give them a share ratio of 2:1:1. And what we observe is that the initial allocation is able to give us 4 credits for the low demand and 2 credits each for the high demand. And the thing to note here is we are able to give strong isolation guarantees for the low demand application, even though we know using measurements that it's only going to use 2 units of power. We can also cause redistribution of this excess power if we want, using the shares to redistribute the power. Finally, to evaluate the system, we chose the AMD Ryzen platform just because it had per core power measurements, and it also provided us per core performance counters that we could use to build a software controller. We took the same set of applications and chose a similar share value to see how similar power shares behave. And what we observed when we got equal shares of power is that both applications can now draw the same power. But what happens to their performance? What we observe is equal power doesn't mean equal performance. And so if you want performance predictability, we still have to go and look into what we need to do. And that brings us to our question, what should we share? Should we share power or should we share performance? And since performance is actually what we care about, we built a policy around the performance of an application relative to its own self running alone at the highest frequency. And so that looks like this. So if we had 50-50 shares in performance, we achieve around a 49-51 split in the actual share ratios. But we see that unequal power, equal shares in performance gives you unequal shares in power. That, I'd like to summarize. We propose new policies, which are priority, proportional power, proportional performance, and we compare them against the state of the art today, that is RAPL. And we find that we are able to provide better fairness and better isolation, as well as better predictability guarantees compared to RAPL, at the cost of having a little bit more complication by doing some things like having per application power measurements or per application performance measurements. Thank you. Any questions?
Hi, Michael Engel from Coburg University. So if I understand it correctly, your measurements only concern the CPU power.
Yes.
Now you had this example of GCC, which is obviously a very CPU intense application. Mm-hmm. But did you also try to consider other sources of energy consumption in your system, like memory and storage subsystems, which would be especially interesting in the context of a data center where the power consumption of a whole machine is actually relevant and not only the CPU power consumption?
Right. So initially, we started to look at whole system power. So for those in the audience who didn't hear the question, what was being asked is, did we consider anything except CPU power in when we were building our policies? The policies themselves are oblivious to what kind of measurements we're using. So if we are able to get feedback for power for the system components, and we are able to attribute it to the applications in the system, then our policies should work for them as well. But currently, since we only had a way to attribute power to an application based on the measurements that we were able to make, we only focused on CPU power in the work.
Okay, thank you.
So I have a question. One thing that's interesting is here is you show that the amount of performance you get depending on how much power you consume sort of varies for each application. So I guess there's kind of a curve we could draw that looks at, you know, how much goodness I'm getting for how much power I actually have developed. Have you thought about trying to equalize sort of your fairness across that particular curve so each person gets a, you know, a percentage, so to speak, of their peak performance as sort of their fair share?
So if you notice, the way we calculate performance for our performance shares is based relative to their performance when they're running alone in the system and at the highest frequency. So we are trying to minimize that gap, but we didn't develop an optimization model completely because we first wanted to understand whether these policies are even implementable. Because when you start thinking about this problem, the thing that you run into initially is just what does even performance or power fairness mean for these applications? And so we wanted to do this first step kind of exercise in trying to understand what these policies should look like. And these in no means are the only policies out there. We just wanted to start the exploration in the field and get better policies out there.
So Vladimir Podolsky, Technical University of Munich. So as far as I understood, you actually are measuring the power consumption for each application individually. I was wondering whether it could be necessary or it could be feasible to actually go into finer details, like into measurement of the power consumption for particular algorithms, for structures that are used in applications, in order to reuse this in other applications. Because now it seems like testing all of the applications under various workloads could be quite problematic stuff to do.
That's an excellent question. For those in the audience who didn't hear the question, what my friend here is asking is, would it be better if we had finer-grained measurements and control over how we are affecting the performance in the system? And the obvious answer to this is yes. If you have more finer-grained control and monitoring of your application's power consumption, or what we call phase behavior in an application, you can do much better control. And that's why these policies are not just meant for software. They're meant to be put in place inside the hardware components themselves. And they should live alongside the hardware controllers. That's how we envisioned them in the beginning. And the evaluations we do are just emulated evaluations in a system.
All right, let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.